Paramahamsa-parabara-jagacharya astata-sata-sisimati-stivahingre-sila-ave-charanaravinda-sila-bhakti-vedanta स्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की जय, आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जय, नामाचार्य शिल हरिदस्ताको की जय, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य ओ प्रभु नितानंद श्री अद्वैत गिराधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बो, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू सी सी गुरु इन श्री गुरंगा, ओ ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, नमः विष्णु पदाय विष्णु पदाय भूतले स्मरते अंत शांति आमी नमस्ते करते विगो वाणी विचारिणी मेरे से सुंदरी सदा दे जय जय राधे हरे कृष्ण. वेलकम. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. We are reading this morning in the first canto, chapter 8, text 25. Please repeat. Vipada santu taha shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhagavato darshanam yatsyat apuna bhava darshanam viparashantu tashashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apuna bhava darshanam vipada santuta shashva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsya apunar bhava darshanam vipada santuta shashva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsya apuna bhava darshanam. Yes, please.
Tatra tatra jagat guru.
Acharyaji's, please. Vipada, calamities, santo, let there be, taha, all, shashva, again and again, tatra, there, tatra, and there, jagat guru, O Lord of the universe, Bhavataha, your darashanam, meeting, yad, that which syat, is, apunaha, not again, bhavadarashanam, seeing the repetition of birth and death. I would like to give you the context in which this verse appears so that there is a better understanding with more comprehension. It was spoken by Queen Kunti at the time when Lord Krishna got on his chariot to leave Hastinapur, the capital town of the India at that time. Just previously to this, Lord Krishna had come from Dwaraka to act as the charioteer of Arjuna in the mighty battle of Kurukshetra. And by his advice and his arrangements, and ultimately by his control over the whole battlefield, the Pandavas, led by Yudhishthira, emerged emerged victorious in this battle. So, after the battle was over, Krishna stayed for a little longer in Hastinapur because Yudhishthira had requested him, and Yudhishthira actually needed Lord Krishna's help and advice. Yudhishthira was too despondent to go on the throne. He thought he had been the cause of so many dead people, and he did not want to ascend a blood-covered throne. So now the world was again in a problem. There was no ruler, and Krishna very patiently made arrangements for Yudhishthira to become again enlivened and enthused and finally take up responsibilities as the emperor. Anyways, then the time of departure came, and it is described that the Pandavas were so sad that Krishna left that the mighty Bhim, you all know about Bhimasena, and the five Pandavas followed Krishna as long as they could out of the town of Hastinapur. And finally, when Krishna, it was sure Krishna would leave, Bhimasena fell down unconscious on the ground, bang, and wetted the dust with his tears. Imagine how attached they were to Krishna. So Queen Kunti describes now her realizations. She prayed actually to Lord Krishna when he was already on the chariot leaving, and there's a beautiful realization which comes very welcome, as a very welcome realization in our little seminar which we had been conducting over the last few days here in Boston. Queen Kunti actually prays for sufferings to happen again and again. Whereas everyone in America does everything in the world to avoid even the littlest rash on the skin, on itching sensation. Queen Kunti wants to have all the calamities, including banishment in the forest, again to happen again. And it is certainly not out of a masochistic attitude which needs therapeutic treatments. She has a deep spiritual realization which she will now share with us. So be ready. Drive away brother sleep, wherever he may hide in your physical system, so that you can listen with undivided attention. Translation. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. And generally, Prabhupada writes in his purport, and generally the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, and the inquisitive, who have performed some pious activities, worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nations, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hooves of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there is danger in every step. This material world is certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. Do you understand Srila Prabhupada's point here? He says that calamities are bound to come our way in this world, and it is just because it's a place of calamities, so there is no sense really in making arrangements to avoid calamities. It's like when you almost, if you go fall into water, you cannot make an arrangement to be free of water. Water is bound to be there where there is water. You know, this is so. This is a very striking point. It is almost very intense. So he suggests, why not get out of the water You know, why not, if you want to be free of water, you have to go on the land. So he says, let us go to the abode of the Lord and there look for freedom from calamities. Let us not look in the world of calamities to be free from calamities. Or you know, when you are in a fire, you are going to feel the heat. If you don't want heat, don't try to make adjustments in a fire. You know, maybe make an asbest suit for you and then live heat free in the fire. And heat will be there even in with all arrangements. Better get out of the fire. This is Prabhupada's point. He will now start to preach to us. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering of all sorts, suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. But actually there is no tiger, and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. It is a case of dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it's all a gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Wonderful.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajadine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When this verse becomes a little bit clear, if we remember Narada Muni's attempts to find the devotee who obtained the greatest amount of Krishna's mercy. In his search for the most, favored devotee of Lord Krishna, Narada Muni finally arrived in Hastinapur. As he arrived, there was a big meeting amongst the Pandavas. They were all sitting together in their palace discussing how they could again bring Krishna to Hastinapur. When Narada Muni arrived, they immediately got up from their seats, gave Narada Muni a seat, and prepared the arati plate in order to give him the traditional welcome, which is given to a sadhu. Narada Muni, however, by now was so ecstatic to see the Pandavas, who are so dear to Lord Krishna, that he jumped up, took the artic plate, and performed the artic to the Pandavas, and said, "You are most glorious, because Lord Krishna is always with you." Listen to me. Lord Krishna had said, "He who is the friend of the Pandavas is my friend, and he who is the enemy of the Pandavas is my enemy." With this sentence, or with this statement, Krishna had given his identification that he is feeling himself to be the obedient servant of the Pandavas. In fact, when Yudhishthira used to go through Hastinapur on a royal procession, Lord Krishna walked in the retinue, means the people following Yudhishthira, and waved a chamara fan towards Yudhishthira, worshipping him and shouting, "Maharaj Yudhishthira ki jai!" And Lord Krishna was shouting like this. No wonder that Lord Krishna, took personally the role of the charioteer in the great battle of Kurukshetra. Narada Muni begins to glorify and glorify the Pandavas. Finally, he's interrupted by Bhim, by Nakula and Sahadev. "Please, how can you say such unreflected nonsense? We are not the objects of Lord Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, why would he have left us?" At this moment, Arjuna gives away an immense sobbing. You know, he begins to sob and begins to cry uncontrollably. He says, "Listen, Narada Muni. People say I'm extremely fortunate because Lord Krishna spoke to me the Bhagavad Gita. But they have gotten things all wrong. Krishna didn't speak the Bhagavad Gita because I was his dear devotee. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita because I was totally opposed to surrendering myself to him. He wanted me to fight. I said, I go into the forest. I was such an unsurrendered fool that the Lord, in the very important, intense moment, had to waste half an hour time to preach to me and make me fight and follow his plan. This is how surrendered I am. I'm the most unsurrendered." At this moment, Yudhishthira cried out in great distress, "We are the greatest sinners. We are the greatest offender to Lord Krishna." A devotee normally wishes that people turn to Lord Krishna and surrender. But when the people of the world hear how much the Pandavas went through, although they were devotees of the Lord, how we were banished in the forest, these people will not feel even a half a sesame seed of enthusiasm to surrender to Krishna. They will think, "Ah, the devotees of Krishna, they suffer like the Pandavas. We better we better make the mosquito." This is what you say in German. "Wir machen besser die Mücke oder die Fliege." We better run away, you know. this is the Pandavas. They make people unenthusiastic to surrender to Krishna, because if people hear there what the Pandavas went through as devotees of Lord Krishna, they say, "Taksamukut." Taksamukut is a Danish expression. It means, "Thank you very much. I go to another Lord." This is too intense. So, this way the Pandavas, do everything to prove to Lord Narada Muni, that they in reality are not great devotees of the Lord. Of course, this is just their ecstasy and the feelings of loving separation which they express. But good, here Queen Kunti is, so at the end Queen Kunti spoke. She said, Narada Muni, when we were suffering in the forest, Krishna would come occasionally and he would console us. When Draupadi was very much bereaved, then Krishna sat next to her and was holding her hand and giving her consolation. Especially after the death of Drishtadyumna and the five sons of Draupadi, Krishna consoled Draupadi. But now we are in, the emperors of the world, but this crown which we have, this superiority, is just another way of Lord Krishna's deception, because now he thinks they don't need me any longer. And he is not coming any longer. So this is how you can understand the sentence. And she said, because meeting Krishna is the most important to us, therefore we hope that the calamities come back. No? Because during the calamities, Lord Krishna was present and visited us. So here you find the really essence of our little three-step devotion program. Our three-step devotion program starts with expecting the mercy of Lord Krishna, even in calamities. When there are calamities, a devotee knows, Prabhupada writes this in the purport, he has no one else to turn than Lord Krishna, like Queen Kunti expresses here. In the forest, when you know there were man-eating demons after the Pandavas, and fire and all kinds of calamities, then she only had Krishna to turn to, and that was bliss. My dear devotees, have you ever heard the old devotees talking in almost with a nostalgic glitter in their eyes about the good old times? Have you heard them? Have you seen how the old devotees who may now sport an impressive belly and so on become at that time very moved, and they begin to become animated, because they know very well that in these old times, when our movement did not have maybe such opulent temples and opulent prasadam. I remember I very often went hungry into the bed because there was simply was nothing. We very much were turning to Lord Krishna, and we were not afraid to take risks in his mission, and we knew that in this risk-taking activity, Lord Krishna would often come to our full support, because we would turn to him in the cold streets, praying to him, please let me distribute some books. It's after all your books, please. Or when we were having not such good accommodations, when we were praying, my dear Lord, Prabhupada has told us to make a temple, and we are very helpless, please, you are everything to us, please help, and so on. This turning to Lord Krishna is really the very, very blissful time for a devotee. With this turning to Lord Krishna, he immediately gets so much acceleration in his spiritual life, that he is almost carried away from all the so-called misery which he had suffered. He doesn't see the misery any longer. You will be surprised. Some of the old Russian devotees who were put into concentration camps and mental hospitals because they followed Krishna consciousness, who, you know, were in jail and made beads from the dough of bread and mixed with water. They sometimes say, we wish these times come back again, because at that time we really turned to Lord Krishna. Now everything, we are all packaged in cotton swabs of our comfort zone. Does it make sense in English? You know, when we are in our comfort zone, it's almost like we are packed in cotton. You know, we don't experience maybe this excitement of spiritual life, this turning to Lord Krishna and experiencing his loving reciprocation with us. And this Rupa Goswami describes bhakti is really about three things. It's about eagerly turning to Krishna, desiring some sort of service to Lord Krishna, and finally, yes, pleasing the Lord and feeling the pleasure of the Lord. This is what bhakti is about. The devotee wants to turn to Lord Krishna. He wishes to render some favorable service for Lord Krishna. And he wishes actually to please the Lord. The Lord is pleased with him and looks kindly his way. This is the desire of a devotee. These three desires are in the devotee's heart. And when the devotee feels this, then he doesn't mind the external circumstances because they are transcended in this Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. I would like to now go a little bit deeper again into the subject matter of suffering and show you how suffering is really only a matter of perspective. If you develop another perspective towards so-called suffering, then you see it's just one of the material experiences, and it's not good and it's not bad in itself. Mm-hmm. So I would like to draw your attention to the sweet realizations of the Avanti Brahmana. The Avanti Brahmana was a miserly person. He was very rich, but he would not spend his wealth for the benefit of his family. You know, he was very miserly. He himself didn't even eat properly. So that came a time ordained by his fate when he lost everything. And when he lost everything, his family totally turned against him. In Spanish, we say revenge. Revenge is a dish best served cold. You know, after some time. You know, so the family members were very heavy with this poor Brahmana because they felt he had neglected us at the time of wealth. Maybe he has just put his wealth away to enjoy it secretly. And so on. And everyone turned against him, and he was driven out of his home, and he became a begging mendicant. Now, then the misery really started, because people suspected that he had really all his wealth intact, but he was wanting to become even richer now by begging. I'm so poor, please give me something. And they really dealt harshly with him. I will only tell you one thing which they did, and you will cry with me in the morning. I mean, he was begging one day, and finally he had managed after a long time to get his meal. So he went to a riverbank to eat his meal, you know, and as he was starting to eat his meal, he was really hungry. Maybe it was a hunger which had grown within 3 days of fasting. He was really hungry and reaching out to the food. He saw there was some plattering on his plate. Platter, platter, platter. And as he looked, there was someone urinating on his plate. Imagine you're hungry and someone pees on your plate. I'm sorry, is this still acceptable English, or does it go closely to the border where it becomes closely, we have to quickly make a curve, a little informal, yes. So let us immediately go back to the Sattvic language again. So he was suffering. Like, imagine this for a moment. What suffering comes when you're really hungry and your whole meal is spoiled? It becomes untouchable, disease infected. So he was crying in despair. And there were other things, people would, he would beg and people would just take his begging bowl and hide it, not return it. And sometimes they would bind him, spit on him, and so on. He was, all this brought him to a deep reflection. One day he sat down and he reflected, are the people the source of my misery? Why am I suffering? Are the planets maybe unfortunate? I have my Rahu period. Are the planets the source of my suffering? And then he went through several causes of suffering. And in the end he said, no, the source of my suffering is my mind. And he compared the powers of the mind, he said, the mind with its almost God-like powers can bring a person into a happiness and distress. Have you ever noticed this, my dear devotees, when you were in a situation which was not so nice, maybe bad weather, and maybe some unfortunate happenings in your life, people who meant something to you left you, and friendships broke up, or whatever, and you were really in the first beginning, in the outset of these events, miserable, but then you developed a different perspective and actually felt all right. Do you have such experiences in your life? Well, maybe you have to think a little bit about it. I heard one devotee, it's a long story, but after he had actually left Krishna consciousness and was not desiring to return back. So one day he just paid a visit to the temple. It was a prasadam visit. His motivation was clearly the Sunday feast prasadam. He would just arrive at the temple when the Sunday feast was there, eat it, and then quickly make his way back into the jungle of material life. So he was just finishing his meal and he put his elbow on the table. All of a sudden had a terrible sting in the elbow, and looked, and there was an insect which was now dead. He had leaned on top of an insect, and his elbow began to swell and soon take the shape of a football. The ambulance was called and he was quickly rushed into the hospital, and the people had taken the insect with them to know what type of insect bite it was, and listen what it was. It was an insect which came, he is from North America, which came from Latin America. The people told him that this is a very terrible insect bite within 3 to 5 minutes, you will stop breathing now. Better prepare yourself. apparently it paralyzes the breathing of this insect. You know, in the Amazonas, you have still some head hunters and these types of insects also. It's a very inhospitable insect. So the devotee thought, well, if I stop breathing in 3 minutes, you know, then I better start thinking of Krishna, you know. It's and he turned with all his devotion to Krishna. He still fainted, and they had to do artificial breathing, you know, the respiration, thank you very much, and activate his lungs in this time, and he came out of the coma after some time. But when he turned to Lord Krishna, he actually reflected deeply. He had a very nice moment of deep Krishna thought, where he just remembered the deities in the temple, remembered the mercy which he had felt in his younger days coming from the deities towards him, and so on, and the services which he was performing for the deities, and developed such a tender and loving feeling for Krishna that when he went out into an unconscious state, then he actually had tears of gratefulness in his eyes. When he woke up, he dedicated his life to Krishna. He's a very nice devotee now. It's a, we say, an ISKCON youth, you know, a young person who was in the Gurukul, then left Gurukul and the movement due to some uninspiring experiences, and you know, came back. And he really understood, Krishna has sent me this suffering. I was meant to take some, to get some suffering due to my karma, and Krishna sent me now this suffering. And how very nice of him! He sent an insect from Latin America out of the country of the headhunters, just to make me turn towards him. How nice my Lord is! He could understand this by changing his perspective. See, changing perspectives towards suffering is very important. In fact, changing perspectives sometimes gives you a total different realizations. I would like to tell you a modern story from psychology to make you aware how effective this change. When we are, our Prabhuji asks, when we are in a situation where we go through suffering, is this a good time to make important decisions or not? When you are in Krishna consciousness, when you are going through suffering, you will tend to go to devotees and speak with them about the situation and take their counsel, and because sometimes decisions need to be made. So it's good to take for all important decisions the help of guru, sadhu, that is other devotees, sadhu in plural number, and shastra. It's very, very important. Yes, it may, when you are upset and not Krishna conscious, then it's not a good time to make decisions. But sufferings also have another function. They sometimes tell us, hey, it's time to make a decision. It's almost like, you know, when you go with your car and then this red light comes. In German cars, I don't know how it is in America, but you see a Benzinskapumpa, what is it? This petrol, it's something where, how do you call it, where you take benzene from? It's a pump. Oh yeah, this, thank you. This petrol pump, you know, the, you see in Germany a red petrol pump coming your way, you know, not coming your way, it blinks, ping, blink, 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 blink. Now imagine a very tamasic car driver who says, this is a very highly disturbing, and he takes some chewing gum, and then he puts the chewing gum over the warning signal. This is not an enlightened response to the warning signal. The warning signal tells him it's time to drive to a petrol station and get your fill. So in the same way, sufferings can sometimes point out to you that, wait a minute, it's time to do something in your life. And important decisions need to be made. I always, I have developed one technique in my life. I always, from time to time, I begin to think of my highest spiritual desires and aspirations. Often I forget because I'm very much a Maya, but sometimes I think, and then I look at my life, and I begin to feel some suffering. My life is not at this moment in conducive for attaining my highest spiritual aspirations. I'm just wallowing in the normal gear. Wallowing or wallowing? Wallowing. Wallowing.
Wallow.
Thank you, Radha Vallabh. You are my language instructor. Wallowing in some ordinary comfort zone, and it's really unexciting and full of offenses and mistakes, my life, and I'm really suffering. I should really do something to get out of this. Then I think it's time to go to Vrindavan to really merge myself in the Yamuna. I should just drown myself with a stone, you know, that's my only hope. No, not so extreme, but then I will see Gopal in the 24-hour kirtans, and my heart will dance to the beat of the madanga, and this way my life gets some meaning. So yes, you should. Suffering is can also show you, what are you doing? Huh? What are you doing, Kiyo? Kiyo is blissful. There's no problem with Kiyo. Life is just running by as a series of mistakes and boring, uneventful things. Where is, I set out on sacred pilgrimage. I wanted to go back home, back to Godhead, but I'm in the prison of my mind. This is too much. I do not tolerate this any longer. I will go in the adventure of spiritual life. I will leave this. Goodbye, you foggy days. Yes, this is how a devotee feels. He feels called. And he knows the suffering is just like a dripping in my life, like small doses of morphium which totally numb me for the excitement of Krishna consciousness. I don't tolerate this any longer. Some important decision has to be made. I'm going to leave this situation now. Goodbye, this is not for me. This can be, let 99% of the American population wallow. Wallow in Maya. Yes, but this is not for me. And then you go. Yes. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your question. Yes, your good name again?
Vinodji.
Can
you tell us where this shloka has been?
Adhenukampam, yes. Would you like to note it down, or you have a good memory? Yes, you most probably are a computer specialist with a memory bank, like 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8. 10, 14, 8. Now you will find it in Nectar of Devotion under the heading Expecting the Lord's Mercy. Maybe someone can write it down for me, no, because this gets now more than one information. Nectar of Devotion, there is a paragraph called Expecting the Lord's Mercy. There Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse in English and then gives a brilliant explanation. I mean, really brilliant and full of guidance for you, Vinod. It's around page 99 of the edition of the Nectar of Devotion. Do we have a Nectar of Devotion just? Maybe we have one just here. We don't have it at this moment. Page 99, as far as I remember. But here, yeah. Take it with some caution. This numbers, I always get mixed up in numbers. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Q.
As we see, the
heaven on earth.
Yeah. So, how we can approach?
Yeah. Bhakta Kiyo asks a very relevant question for preaching. How can we bring people to an understanding that the world is a place where there is misery when these people believe so much in material adjustments and do not believe in the limit of human ability? It's very good. I remember the first time a devotee said to me, the world is full of misery. I just went, really? It was the most amazing information for me I had ever heard. Could you please give some reasons for your belief? I said. The devotee said, yes, we have to birth, death, disease, and old age. And I meant, what? You think this is misery? This is natural. I think you have some need for some psychotherapeutical counseling. I was really, I didn't mean to be offensive towards the devotees. It's just, I couldn't understand what birth, death, old age and disease have to do with misery. Does it sound familiar to you? Like when someone said, misery? Yes, people get old, but not me. Yes, people get disease, but yeah, I mean, yes, I also have sometimes a you just take a tempo that is where you sniff your nose in and so on. It's not a problem. And death, this is what happens to other people, or well, it happens sometimes, but it's so far away that it really happens not at all. I remember then one day we were in our studio and we needed our guitar player to come to play a riff on the track. And
guitar,
yes. And so he was late, and we couldn't really progress in our work. So there was a phone call coming, ring, ring, ring. I remember it must be the guitar player. Maybe his car got stuck or something. And I picked up the phone, and there was silence at first. Then I said, "Yes, who is it?" And then I was crying. "Please tell me, who are you that is crying on the other line?" And it was the girlfriend of the guitar player. He had driven against a car on his way to the studio and had a fatal accident. He had just died. I remembered at that moment I cried because he was my best friend. And for a short moment I thought, it seems people die. It seems I could also die if he who was my friend died. All of a sudden, I remember this. I just felt like this world doesn't make any sense. I went to a forest and sat under a tree. I thought, if everything ends like this, then what is the sense of everything? What is the value of everything? I remember. This is called smashana vairagya. Not smashan. Not smash vairagya, but it's something like smash vairagya. Vairagya, smasana vairagya means the detachment which you feel on the death of a near and dear one. Immediately it makes sense to you. But then the maya energy comes again, Kiyo, and sets in. Like in German, when you are going to the grave, everyone is very grave. You know, when you go to a grave of a near and dear one, they are very grave. But then, when they afterwards have a party and they drink a lot of alcohol to cover this feeling of disorientation which happens. So yes, people are very much in Maya. They can't see that. This misery, they're covered. And they almost become angry if you point it out to them, because their values of life is that I wouldn't preach about misery to these people who don't want to accept this. It is, doesn't make any sense, because they it's called Verdrängung, denial. Someone who denies something, you cannot bring him up. You know, you always have this in the Brahmachari ashram. Brahmachari A has heard the alarm clock, but he wants to really sleep. So he denies that there was such a thing as an alarm clock. You now come with good-hearted feelings, with your polite kiyo manners. You know, you tap him kindly on the shoulder. Time to get up, Hare Krishna to you, and so on. But he is stubbornly, you know, he's in denial at this moment. He will go. you could even shake him, because he is already aware to some degree. He will, because he's in denial, he will not wake up. If he would be really sleeping, it would be easy to wake him up. But if he's in denial, it just doesn't work. So when you come as a preacher to a point where you know the conditioned soul is just denying this point, you have to stop. Doesn't make any sense to go further. You have to stop, because they will, with great energy, continue to deny what you bring them. You must come from another direction. Okay, let us forget this line, and you must come from another direction. Yeah. Yes, this will be our last question. Your good name, please. No, it's the best name. Yes. Yes.
In regards to this verse, what would you say to someone who...
What would you say to someone whose guru has fallen? Yeah. I mean, this case, so... that, yeah. First is to, you must show some human empathy, because everything needs to be dealt with on the level. If someone is suffering, you can't talk high philosophy. You must I'm with you and give some friendliness. But if you enter into a situation where the pain is not as harsh, I think we can also learn from that. Maybe we were not mature enough when we chose our spiritual master. Maybe we just wanted to be part of a group, a certain group. And we can learn to be more careful and look for the real things we should look at a spiritual master. Maybe we just were attracted to charisma and not to surrender to Guru and Krishna when we looked, and so on. I mean, this point with the Guru falling in Nitai Gauranga is a very unpleasant subject in our movement, but we can't ignore it any longer because it has happened too often to ignore it. One time, two times, three times, four times, but not 10 times or 13 times. Then I don't know how many have fallen. I don't count it. Then you really think like, oops. I think we must also look. Krishna is showing us something which we may not see as a movement. The way I personally understand it, that yes, it's a great misery, it's a faith breaker like anything, but Krishna is showing us something which we must learn. What Krishna might be showing us, I have a very subjective understanding of it, but this is now not the point which we are focusing on. You have to say what to say to someone whose guru has fallen. What I always say is, Prabhuji, you came to Lord Krishna. You somehow came and met this personality, and he has also helped you. He has attracted you. Be grateful. But understand, this is ultimately the movement for Krishna consciousness. The guru is very important, yes, but Krishna is most important. This guru didn't work for some reason, whatever the reason is, it's difficult to imagine. Now, see, what you need is spiritual guidance to come to Lord Krishna, and you received spiritual guidance from this person. It was not all in vain. Now you see, you pray to Krishna to please give you some very qualified Vaishnava and take guidance there. Don't immediately go for initiation. First go for guidance, that is, and see if something changes in your life, if it works, if you can become inspired in Krishna consciousness. And if it is so, then the relationship can become more committed after some time. Then, like this, I would say. Hare Krishna. So we will now, I will now conclude our sessions. I want to thank you very much for being such gracious hosts. It was wonderful to stay in your Boston temple. I had heard so many good things about it in the past, and I wish you that you can make this temple very nice. I want to encourage you to think more about preaching. You are actually in the paradise of preaching in Boston. And I think the atmosphere in the temple always becomes so nice if there are nice and good people. Like Balaram Prabhu brought yesterday, a very nice person who came for the first time to the temple, I understand. So you must have felt very nice to, oh, this person can take Krishna consciousness, very qualified actually, and you must have felt very enlivened when you finally ended your day, because it's very enlivening to give Krishna consciousness to others. It's a really enlivening. And here is a heaven of preaching, because we have so many young people here in Boston, and not just bums, but people who come for education, I understand. So it is very nice, and we have such wonderful deities here who are so active, and so these deities are really amazing. It seems Balaram here is extremely prominent. He always has when I do darshan, I always look now, what will Balaram have, a new plow or a club, or you know, this is really amazing. And also Radha Gopi Vallabha, very amazing deities, and very Krishna is very much present. So we have our building is just it's almost as opulent as the Govardhan Palace or something. Please think about preaching. This will give life to the temple. Bring new people. Think about your Sunday program. Maybe some Sunday guests have come to us yesterday and said, maybe it's sometimes good to have Matajis and men. You know, it's a little narrow, this temple. Maybe we have to push the wall a little bit so that they both can see the deities. Maybe this is an idea. I don't know. I'm just repeating what people said. Maybe you should send some of your devotees to learn nice Mridanga and harmonium. You can talk with Gopal how to do this. He might have some ideas where to learn and so on, so that you really make a nice kirtan band here, because kirtan is so attractive to people. And so on. Hire many people to take active services in the temple. That's what we do in Munich. Many times people are just waiting until you give them a service role. I've seen this. They're just waiting. And can you please sweep the floor after the prasadam? Oh, yes, I was waiting for some service. I will sweep this on you. Will see, he will do it like you can, in a scientific way. He will make a computer program to calculate all the corners of the temple that dust can possibly accumulate, and so on. You will see, it's amazing how people take opportunities of service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Gopi Vallabha ki jai, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.